So we've been away from our form series for a little bit. And I don't know if you guys remember, that was probably 3 weeks ago since we've been on this series. Can you remember that far back? I know we're in America in 2026, and we've got about a seven-second attention span, so this was like years ago. But a few weeks ago, we were on this form series, and we are, so the goal of a rabbi, or the goal of an apprentice, the goal of a disciple, an apprentice, is to plug your stuff in, preacher, is to be with Jesus, be like Jesus, and do what Jesus did. Remember that? So we talked about what's called spiritual disciplines or spiritual habits, or I'm trying to remember some of the other names that they use for them, spiritual practices, things that we do on a normal basis, on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, kind of in a daily life to help us to be more like Jesus. And that's why this series is called Formed. And so we issued a challenge. We said the number one spiritual practice that we all need to do is what? It's formed. It's scripture at least four times a week. Now, obviously, we're going for seven times a week. But right? I've gotten a little pushback against that. Pastor, we need to be reading our Bible every day. I'm like, dude, some of these people haven't read their Bible since 1943. If we can get everybody reading four times a week, I'm going to be like, thank you, Jesus. We want to get you seven times a week, but we're starting with four. Because once you hit four times a week, stuff changes. You start becoming more like Christ. But we're just challenging you to get in the scripture because it's the living word of God. His word is living and active. Amen? You're not just reading a set of rules. You're not just reading stories that happened a long time ago. You're reading the word of God, and it's alive. Amen? The word of God, like, I don't know how that works, but it does something in you. It changes you. Amen? It doesn't just tell you information. I was just sharing with someone. I said, I can read my dishwasher manual, and I can get true information, right? I can know when to push the button and how to make it do this fancy cycle or whatever, and if it's blinking this like that, it tells me true information. The Bible is more than true information. It's truth. And it's alive, and it gets into my heart. And the word of God, it's God's word that changes me on the inside. So number one is get in the scripture. So now we're going to move on to that, to our second spiritual discipline. You guys, I am confident. I have a lot of faith in Jesus in you. I'm going to say that again. I have a lot of faith in Jesus in you. Okay? When you become a Christian, when you surrender your life to the Lord, the Holy Spirit, Jesus, comes and takes up residence inside of us. How does the God of the universe live inside of me? I don't know. It's a mystery in Scripture. But somehow, God's inside of us now. And I have faith in God. And if you are in Christ, then where is God? One of the places He is in you. Right? Amen? So the Holy Spirit comes to reside inside of us, and through Scripture is doing all kinds of things. And some of you are, and we talk about this all the time, get frustrated that we're not more Christ-like. Has anyone ever been frustrated with your progress in Christ? You're like, but I've got faith in Jesus in you. You see what I'm saying? I am convinced that you're going to become more Christ-like in 2026. Come on, church. I am convinced without a shadow of a doubt, and I don't think like three of you are. Like, we're going church-wide here. I am believing for everyone that comes to this church that as the Lord tugs on your heart, and I would be willing to say that there's a smattering of you, maybe you're not here today, let's just say it's the other people, that you're just not even that, you don't even really care about becoming Christ-like. I have faith for Jesus in you. I have faith that the Lord is going to stir that desire for more of Him inside of you. And you're going to wake up one day and you're going to go like, hey, we can't keep doing this. And you're going to be convicted and inspired to be drawn towards Christ-likeness. So that's what we're praying for you guys all the time. So the next thing that, other than Scripture, so we're not quitting the Scripture. You're going to keep on doing the Scripture. Next thing is what? Say it out loud.
Prayer.
Prayer. Prayer. Prayer. Prayer. Prayer. We did it today. Praying. And then when we start talking about prayer, everyone's like, the boring. It's not, dude. Just hang with me. Just hang with me for a little while. Prayer is vibrant and life-giving. And remember, what's the goal of all this? It's becoming like Jesus, right? Anyone? Yeah.
But you know what? Prayer is just talking to him. You do not need a piece of paper in front of you with a well-rehearsed prayer. Just talk to him. It's communicating with him. And that is prayer.
So good. It's so good. Because the goal, there's lots of goals in prayer, but ultimately the goal of this spiritual practice of us praying, hopefully every day, hopefully continually, is to become like Jesus. That's one of the main goals. We want to see prayers answered for other people. We want to see prayers answered for ourselves, for our nation, for our state, for our leaders, on and on, right? But part of what happens is Billy Graham says this. You guys heard of Billy Graham before? He says, before prayer changes others, it first changes us. Come on, church. Yep. We talked about that earlier today, and someone else talked to me about it right at halftime. And they're like, you know, when you're praying for your enemies, it changes you. Amen. Everyone's like, I'm not praying for my enemies. You will. I have faith in Jesus in you. It's good stuff. Look at this in Luke 18:1. One day, Jesus told the disciples a story to show that they should pray on Mondays from 9 to 9:06 and never give up. Jesus said that you should pray Thursdays for about 2 minutes because that's about all you can handle. No? What does it say? You should always, say it out loud, always. Jesus told his disciples a story to show them that they should always pray and never give up. Let's have an honest raise of hands here. Anyone ever been, let's just make it easy and say, been tempted to give up praying for something or someone? Anyone ever been tempted to give up praying? Give up? Okay. Thank you for those honest hands. I think 100% of us. But Jesus showed this. We're not even going to read the story. We're just throwing little nuggets at you today. And then there's a really fun part. I think you're going to like this. So my dad is involved with it. So just hang on. We'll do this in just a little bit. In John 15, verses 15 and 16 says this. Jesus said, I no longer call you slaves because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends. Since I have told you everything the Father told me, you didn't choose me, I chose you. Hey, that's true for you this morning. Jesus chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. All right, I'm going to give you a visual aid here. Same verse. This is the same verse, but you know me. I like to highlight things and whatever. Here we go. Now you are my friends, so what you ask for using my name. Those two things are connected. Because you're my, what Jesus is saying, there's a lot of words there and they're all very important. Read all of them. But for this moment right here, I want you to focus on these words. Because now you're my friends, you're going to ask for things in my name. Hold on, church. Hey, Jeff, you used to not be a friend of God, but now you're a friend of God. And because you're now a friend of Jesus, you're going to ask things in Jesus' name. Josh, you were not a friend of God. But now you're a friend of God. Jesus is your Lord and Savior, and you're now a friend of his. And because you're his friend, you now have the right to ask things in his name. You get it? Peggy, you are not a friend of God, but now you are a friend of God. Jesus lives in you. And because you are his friend, you can ask for things in his name. You get it, Vaughn? You are not a friend of God, but you're not, boy, you are a friend of God. And I know that to be true. And because Jesus said, because you're a friend of God, you can ask for things in Jesus' name. Are you with me? Because there's a whole new covenant that showed up when Jesus came. And he said, because now that I call you friends, and absolutely, we're still servants of God. We still fear the Lord, 100%. But because we're friends, we can ask for things in his name. All right, 1 Thessalonians. Big name. It was a city, Thessalonica. So this was a letter written to the Thessalonica church. It says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is, what? God's will for you in Christ Jesus. How many times people come, Pastor, I need to know the will of the Lord in my life. I need to know what God's will is. Right there it is. Like, start with that. When you get that, come talk to me, and then we'll work on it. I'm just gonna be in teasing, but like let's figure this out, because we already have a revealed will of God. God already told us what his will is for our lives. It's this. Again, a few more highlights here. Pray continually. Pray continually. That's God's will for you. Pray continually. Pray continually. So two things that I want you to kind of know this morning. You're a friend of Jesus, and you can ask things in his name, right? As his friend. And you should pray how often? Always, continually, at all times, and all things. Like, on and on. How in the world do we pray continually? So it can't mean 24/7, every single minute, because right now I'm not praying. I'm preaching. That's different than praying. So I'm not praying. So I'm disobeying the Lord. If he means like every single second, it doesn't mean that. It's an idiom. It means like all the time in everything. So think about a moment that happens all the time in your week. Just pick a moment. Okay, a moment that happens. Maybe it's going to work. Maybe it's doing the dishes. Should you pray during that moment? Yes. It means at all times, in all things. Let there be an offering of prayer no matter what that there can be, and we'll talk about maybe in a few weeks about that. There should be places that are carved out in your life, places and spaces, we call them, that are more holy. They're not actually more holy. They just help us to get our hearts set. So maybe it's a prayer closet. Maybe it's a special room that you got. Maybe, you know, my spot is, I won't tell you where my chair is, but I got a special chair that I sit in here every time. It's not more holy. It is to me, though. It's not really, but it helps me to get my mind and my heart in the right point. But that's not what this verse is talking about. This verse is talking about, yeah, that's good to do too, but also when you get out of your special little chair, keep praying, right? When you're in your car, pray. When you're at work, oh yeah, pray. When you're on your way to work, pray. When you're getting ready to yell at the kids, pray. Pray again. No, pray one more time. No, probably one more time. And then pray some more. And when you're getting ready to lay down at night, pray. Yeah, when you're anxious about something, pray. When you're excited about something, pray. When you are going for a walk, pray. When you leave the church today, pray, right? And that sounds arduous, and it sounds like a lot of work, and that is not at all what Jesus intended for it to be. I'll listen to my daughter. Is she in here today? I can pick on her all I want then. I'll listen to my daughter, who has her room upstairs from ours, cackle like a flock of Canadian geese at all hours of the night, talking to that Anderson girl. It'd be nice if someone would set some rules in some house. One of us, someone needs to be the bigger person here. I got to clue you in on this. This isn't really against them, but like, so there's a generation gap, okay? And us older, you'll see it in my slides or when I do quotes or when I write articles for the newsletter. I have the ellipse. You know what the ellipses are? The three dots, dot, dot, dot. I'll use that for a pause because I write like I'm talking. And so then, you know, we all gathered, dot, dot, dot. And then God showed up in a powerful way. You know, like I'll use the three dots all the time. We got yelled at by a whole living room full of kids the other night, teenagers. And they're like, you guys use those dot, dot, dots all the time. We just think you're mad. We're like, what? Mad? Who's mad? Well, in our generation, if you're using dot, 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 that's like snooty. You're just like torqued off. So we just think you guys are mad, right? Is that just, stop it. Just stop it. We're not mad. We're just pausing. And so we're like, come on, you can't really think that. Trust us, Dad. You can ask our friends. It just feels like you're mad at us. And so we just kind of made a big thing out of that. And so now we'll bring it back to now. When they're torquing me off and I'm laying in bed at night and I'm trying to sleep, I'll send them a text. Dot, dot, dot. And you want to know what happens? Quiet right away. It's just a pause, but if not, there's going to be something after the pause in just a minute here if we don't quiet down. But that's what the whole point of this story, let's get back to what the point actually was. We're talking about prayer. It's not hard work for them to be cackling up in their room, right? It's not. It's just natural. They're just talking, and they're excited to talk. And that's what I want your relationship with Jesus to be like. When you hear me talking about prayer, I don't care how many big words I use and how icky this feels when we're talking about prayer, I want you to have in your mind what Pastor really means is in this very natural. It's what Linda said. Linda said it so much better. Pastor said all these big words and hard to understand. Linda just said it's just talking to God. That's what I want you to remember. I want you to remember that this is meant to be just like, we're talking about life here. And that's good. And it's freeing. And it's vibrant. And it's life-giving. Amen? Does that make sense? All right. Now hold on. This is going to scare you, but hold on. This is okay. It's okay. I'm going to throw this next slide up, and you're just going to freak out on me. Take a breath. All right, types of prayer. Just relax. Prayers of thanksgiving, praise and adoration, petition and supplication, words that I'm sure we use all the time. Praying the word, prayers of faith, conversational prayer, intercession, prayers of confession, prayers of lament, prayers of consecration, a prayer of agreement, and an abiding prayer. Those aren't even all of them. That's just, 12 of them probably that I put up there? Guess what we're going to do in the next 15 minutes? We're going to talk about every one of them. I'm going to explain them to you. And about 43 of you just went, I got to go. Hey, just tell you what, I was bored to begin with. Now, we're out. I'm done. We're going to do this in a fun way that I think is going to keep your attention, and I think is going to, I was telling my dad, I asked him if he'd be involved with this. He's like, well, what do I got to do? I said, you just got to sit there. So just, but hold on a second. So here's the deal. I've heard this over the years, and I've done this over the years. Sometimes, because God's invisible, you're just like, Lord, where are you at right now? Some people have said it's been helpful for them to just drag out a chair and then sit down next to that chair and just pretend that Jesus is sitting in the chair. It helps our mind from racing and whatever. So I've done that over the years, and it's been cool. I don't do it often, but I've done that over the years. And just if my mind's all scatterbrained or whatever and I'm having trouble focus, maybe once in a while I'll do that. And I'm just like, and Jesus, it's kind of silly, right? But you're just talking to Jesus, and you're praying, and you're concerned about things, whatever we're praying about. And that's been helpful. But I thought, what would it be like if we took prayer, and instead of talking to God, I took those types of prayer, and what would that prayer look like if it wasn't actually a prayer, if it was actually talking to someone? And I'm going to show you the different kinds of prayer instead of a person to God, a person to person. So my dad is going to be the other person. So give Stan a hand today. Come on, have a seat here. I don't know. Where do you want to be? How about let's put you on this? No, I got to read the screen there. So let's put you on that side. We'll put you on that side. Now, you don't have to do much here. You just have to pretend that you're my friend. And you are really my dad. This is my dad, if you don't know that. So we're going to go through each one of these real quick and just show you what it, instead of talking to God, what this type of communication would look like talking to a person. As I was going through these, kind of crafting this kind of stuff, I just put some stuff on the screen on each one, and I don't know if it'll work or not, but, so in case you were taking pictures of it, that you would know which one we're talking about. It was freeing for me. It was helpful for me. So some of you guys are going to roll your eyes at this, and you're going to be like, that's dumb. I know how to pray. Well, this isn't for you. No, it is. It really is. Because I've been a pastor for 31 years. I know how to pray. And this was helpful for me. So I think you're going to walk out of here with at least one of these going, oh, I see how I would do that. Okay, I get it. Let's just do one. Okay, can we just do one? Let's just stop talking about it. Let's just do one and see how it works. I don't know. Maybe it won't work. Onai will come up and finish the sermon and we'll all go home. Okay? Prayer of thanksgiving. All right. Well, if I was having a conversation of thanksgiving, I would say things like, Dad, hey, thanks for stopping at the store on your way home and picking that thing up for me. Man, I'm really thankful for that. I'm grateful that you could do that. Was that difficult? No, pretty easy. Hey, I appreciate that conversation we had the other day. I've been wanting to talk about that. Thanks for leaning into that and giving me your feedback on that. That was really good. Yeah. Oh, that didn't get saved. Oh, yeah, it did. It's the next one. Hey, you know, it means a lot to me that you fixed that thing for me. I'm sure you fixed something for me in your lifetime, but I appreciate that. Now, let me just, hold on now. Some of you have struggle in your prayer life because you struggle in your communication life. If prayer is really just talking to God, if you struggle in your own conversation, and you're going to find one of these probably that's a little more difficult for you, maybe you have a tough time, maybe you were one of those guys that you just have a tough time saying thank you. Right? Maybe you grew up and it was pretty dysfunctional and it was kind of dog eat dog and you didn't show weakness and boy, you're just, you know, whatever, and your brothers were always pounding on you and your folks didn't care and whatever. You just have a hard time being vulnerable and say, I know all, as a pastor, you get to know people and people have a hard time. I've got a person in my mind right now. I love them dearly. And you could just give them the world and they, oh, good. And that's it. And they've shared with me, they just can't get it out. They didn't grow up that way. It's hard for them to say that. So if you got a hard day, hey, thanks for sitting up here today for saying yes to this. That's being appreciative. That's prayers of thanksgiving. So I'm not praying to my dad because he's not God, but I'm communicating thanksgiving, and we do the same with God. So turn that upwards. Do that same thing. Thanks the other day. Hey, God, thanks that that the car made it here today. You know, this is a true story. My gas light came on. Ding. And I guess I'm low on gas. And I wasn't in danger of not making it, but I am thankful that I made it. Right? I'm thankful that it's warm out today, not snowing. There is 1,001 things we can be thankful. We're picking low-hanging fruit. These are easy. You all know how to be thankful. But the same way I do it in my relationship, I do that, just pretend Jesus is sitting in the seat instead of Stan. I'm sure Stan looks a lot like Jesus, but that, right, just like she said, you just, at all seasons, in all things, at all times, just talk to the Lord. Okay, that was an easy one. We all know how to give thanks, or some of us struggle with it, but if you want to, hey, how about this? Every one of us, 100% of us, have one area that we struggle with in our communication, because we're human. We all got garbage in our souls that needs to get healed up and fixed and whatever. And it's okay. We're working on it. But what if, let's just say you're that person that struggles to be thankful for things. Maybe you are in your heart, but you have a tough time saying it. What if I want to work on saying thanks to Stan? That's just too intimidating, because Stan's very intimidating. What if I just learn to say thanks to Jesus? And prayer then becomes my practice for personal relationships. Promise you guys, you get better at praying, you'll get better at people. It's just going to happen. You get better at prayer, you're going to get better at everything else. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Absolutely. 100%. All right, let's do another one. How about praise and adoration? Pray. We praise God, right? Everyone says, praise God. Praise. We praise Him. All right? Well, I could say, praise to my dad. Hey, you're a great dad, which is a true statement. He is a great dad. He's awesome. I'm just telling him how great he is. That's what praise is. It's not just the fast songs. Those often communicate praise, but praise is not a fast song. Praise is our heart saying, you know, I'm always impressed with your woodworking skills. My dad at 96, how old? Whatever. Older than 79, almost 70. Yeah, don't jump ahead. 78. So very mid 78.
Get old, higher is better.
Okay. Right, because you made it that far. Right, so at 78 years old, probably 77 or 6, really started getting into woodworking. And at 78 years old, started learning how to use a wood lathe. Turns around and makes like spindles and vases and cups and bowls and whatever.
Thanks to Alan.
Thanks to Alan, yep. Yeah, right. You guys are the same age. It's not true at all. Not true at all. Man, I'm just going to get ran out of here with electric cattle prod. But so I could just, I'm praising my dad that, man, you're just doing great with your woodworking. I could say the third one, hey, you're looking great these days. You don't get any older. I heard someone say that to him the other day. Stan, you've looked the same since the first time I came into our church, you know, 28 years ago. And it's true. But you want to know what that is? That's just, it's praise. It's adoring. It's adoration. So what is prayer? One of the parts of prayer is adoring God. God, you are so awesome. So thanksgiving is often meshed in with it, but it's different. Thanking is being thankful for who he is and what he's done. Adoration is just being like in awe of like, wow, and just and saying it. You designed this earth. I'll do that all the time. God, you made so many, like 33,000 plus butterflies there are. Every color and like God, like three would have been great, but you just had to show how awesome you are and make 33,000 different varieties of butterflies. Like you're just, that's prayer. You're praying when you're doing that. God, I love watching, and this is true story. I love the wheat fields when they get the amber waves of grain, right? When they get golden and just watching the sunset. We've got a field behind our house that faces the sunset to the west, and some years Alan plants wheat out there. Some years it's just soybeans and ladybugs. But some years it's wheat, and we like the years that we have actually taken lawn chairs out there and sat at the edge of the wheat field and sat down and watched the sun go down. And we're like, oh, I love it. And I'm giving adoration to God. Like, God, you did that. But we can practice that. The better you are at, I was just with someone who is not good at adoration, people-wise. Maybe he is with God, but he's not good, like, person-wise. He has a tough time saying that someone else is good at something. Or that often comes from insecurity or whatever. So if you got insecurity with that, people-wise, if you got a tough time telling someone how good they are at someone and they just look great, work on it with God first. The better your prayer life gets, the better your people life gets. Come on, church. I'm just telling you a truth here this morning. That's good stuff. The better your prayer life gets, just practice on Jesus. Jesus, you're so amazing. You're so awesome. All right, next one. Petition and supplication. These are big words. Oh, don't we like to talk about that? It just means praying for yourself. That's what petition and supplication means. So if I was petitioning and supplicating my dad, I would say, hey, Dad, can you stop by on Thursday this week? Would you be willing to? Okay. I made a petition. Anyone ever heard of signing a petition? That's what a petition is. You're petitioning, usually a government office, but it can be a business. You're petitioning for some kind of change. That's what you're doing when you're signing a petition. It's a petition, right? So my petition is, can you stop by this week? So don't worry about those big fancy words. That's just what it means. It means asking for something for yourself. I need $20. Can I have $20? Okay. I mean, we'll see if that really happens or not. But that's a petition. I'm petitioning my dad. A little deeper one. Yeah, can you help? Now, I know you helped me talk through something last week, but can you help me talk through this problem that I'm having right now? Absolutely, he says. That's a petition. And it could be for a million different things because it's something that I need right now. Talking to God, same way. God, I got a test coming up. I got rent coming up, and I've only got $40 in my account. And I need help, right? Anyone ever prayed a help prayer? That's kind of the beginning of a petition. Okay. How about this one? Intercession. That's just a big fancy way of saying praying for others, which we should all be doing. So here's intercession in not a God form, but in a person to person. I am asking for help for someone else. So when you do come over on Thursday, can you help Marnie with something when you're there? Absolutely. Absolutely he can. That's intercession. I just made intercession. You get it? That's not hard, is it? Are you interceding for, you're like, I'm not. I don't think I am. Help, I don't want to, because is that catchy? Is it contagious? Intercession is just a big word for praying for others. And praying for others is just a fancy way, if it was person to person, asking for help for someone else. Would you be willing to talk? I actually talked to Jerry about this. I said, I had to put some names in there. I didn't know who was going to be here or not. Jerry wasn't going to be here. He said, use my name anytime you want. I said, Stan, would you be willing to talk to Jerry and cheer him up a little bit and just give him some hope and encouragement?
I could
He could do that. Yeah. Yeah. Stan could do that. And when you pray to the, when you intercede to the Lord for someone else, we're saying, God, just help Jim, right? Just give him energy and vision and like, whatever. Help, you know, we pray for the sick, right? Whatever. Like you're interceding. You're just, you're asking for help for someone else. Or since, you know, I don't know if I'm going to get my $20 or not, but hey, listen, John is having a tough time. And, you know, I don't really all know what's going on, but any way you could help him with some groceries or some cash or something?
I'll call him.
Okay, right. So I just interceded for John. Right? You get how easy that is? That is so easy, you guys. And it's just as easy with Jesus. When we're praying to the Lord for someone else, that's intercession. Man, we've already booked through half a dozen prayer things, and it's super easy peasy. You can do this. I have no doubt that you guys are going to be praying way more than you've ever been this week. And you're going to be like, you're just going to be remembering, asking Stan for stuff, right? It's easy. Praying the word. Oh, okay. All right. Well, now that's different. So we're praying the word of God back to God. But what does that look like in a personal relationship? Well, hey, Dad, remember when you said that you would help me paint the house when I was ready? Well, guess what? I'm ready. I'm reminding you that you said that. This is fictional. He didn't actually say that, but pretend it's real. You see what I'm doing? He said something. Now I'm talking back to him what he told me. How about this one? Hey, you know, you said that I could have your drill when you got a new one. I see you got a new drill there. Right? Because he told me something. I'm reminding him of what he told me. I could say something like, you know, right now I'm taking a lot of comfort in the words that you wrote in your text yesterday about how much you love me, which he didn't actually send me a text about how much he loves me, but I know he does. But let's just say that he did. I'm praying the word, his word, back to him. I'm calling it communication. I'm just saying, so that could go all under thanks as well, but I'm telling him more about that. I'm just like, that's really helping my heart right now. And we can do that with the word of God. When you're feeling lonely, you pray the word of God back to him. Hey, Jesus, I'm just talking to you right now. Your word says that you're the friend that sticks closer than a brother. And I just need you to be close right now. Hey, God, like, right? You just take the things that God has said in his word. Here's the caveat, though. You can't pray the word if you don't know the word, right? So you need to be formed. Get in the word first, and then we can pray God's word back to him. God, you said that you would never leave me or forsake me, right? I'm feeling so alone right now. God, you said that you would provide for my needs according to your riches and glory. I'm just reminding you, God, that you said that. That's in your word. So that's why it's good to know the word, not just so you can stand up in church and spout off a verse. Hey, pastor, I know this one, blah, blah, blah. No, so you can tell Jesus that's what he said. Remind him of what he said to you. You're doing great, man. You just, yeah, absolutely. Prayer of faith. Now, when we pray a prayer of faith to God, it is a prayer that is mixed with faith, and you're expecting God to move. You have great faith that God is going to do whatever it is you're asking him right now. We do this all the time. We have faith all the time with people. Hey, grab my hand. Help me get up. I had no doubt that he would do that. No doubt. I'm stuck in the ditch 2 miles north of God. This one maybe is more directed towards Alan than you, but you're sitting up here right now. I'm stuck in the ditch 2 miles north of town. Come and get me. Hurry up. Like it's a request. Yeah, it's a petition, sure. But I know that, right? Like I wouldn't call someone that I'm just loosely acquainted with and be like then it would be a petition. You'd be just like grasping at straws, trying to get some help. But I'm calling someone that I know is going to, or you guys have done this. Hey, give me a few of those M&Ms. That's a prayer of faith, in essence. When you're praying things that you know God is going to respond on because you know they're part of his will. Or, hey, turn that down a little. It's too loud. Do you see what a prayer of faith is? Like, you know they're going to do it. I just know that you're going to do it. We prayed prayers of faith this morning. God, save these loved ones of ours. We know God's on the case. We know it's also a petition, yes, absolutely. It's also intercession, yes, but it's a prayer of faith as well. Does that make sense? So you just pray believing that. You know that it's in the will of God for whatever I'm praying right now and that God's going to do it. Hey, pass the salt. And no problems that Jim would pass the salt. He's just going to do it. That's what a prayer of faith is. Let's demystify some of this stuff. When you're talking to God and you're praying things that you know is in his will, right? It's easy. You can just pray in faith. All right, just about done here. Conversational prayer. You got a whole screen full. You older people, you're not even going to know what that means. Hey, sup? That's what conversational prayer is. Just talking. Hey, you working on any new woodworking projects? Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. So you guys are going home for lunch after this, aren't you?
Yep.
I think mom said you were having goulash. Yep. Conversational prayer. Therapeutic. If you can't afford a counselor, talk to Jesus. I'm serious. Hey, God, this is gorgeous weather. Like, that's adoration, yes, but it's just more conversational. You're just talking to the Lord. Whew, and I do this. I'll be driving in the car. This has been a doozy of a day. Wowzers. Whoa, that got a lot busier than I thought it was going to. I thought this was going to be. And I'm not asking for anything. I'm having conversation with the Lord. I hope you're doing well. Holy Spirit, I love. And again, that's kind of praise and adoration, but I don't even really mean it for that. I'm not just really focusing on that. I'm just talking to the Lord. I love how you know, I was talking with my buddy and he was in a struggle and God, you just gave me that little nugget. I couldn't have thought of that on my own. And you're just talking with Jesus. Conversational prayer. How you doing, God? What are you working on? What are you working on in me? I wonder what is the next thing that you're going to put your finger on and change in me. You're just having a conversation with the Lord. I'm feeling a little some way about my coworker right now, right? It's just, I'm not even really asking for anything. I'm just talking to the Lord, right? And often the Lord will respond. He'll put a little verse in your heart. He'll give a little conviction or a little excitement or a little fear of the Lord or a little correction or a little nudge forward, a little encouragement. Like whatever you need in that moment, God'll just give that to you. And it's okay. You're just having a conversation with Jesus. All right? How about this one? This one, you guys won't like this one. I don't really care. That's all right. You're here. Prayer of confession. Man, this is so therapeutic. You guys need to do this. Hey, here's how it would look. Here's how a prayer confession would look if it was my dad. Yeah, I know I said I was going to get that done. This sounds more like my conversation with my wife. I did not get that done, and I'm sorry about that. I need to tell you that I accidentally hit your truck yesterday when I was backing up. So there's not much damage, and I was just hoping I could just ignore it, and we need to make it right. So let's figure out what kind of damage. It's not really much, but let's go look at it, take some pictures, send it into insurance, whatever we need to do. Or I'm confessing, not really something against you, but, you know, I've been dieting. I messed up 3 times already this week. I'm just telling him, letting him know. And remember that $20 that I was going to give you back? I don't have it with me. Carlos is leaving town, and I needed tacos. Which is a true story. We got our last Carlos on Friday night, and Jesus showed up, and it's actually someone paid for it for us. This can't get any better. Very sad that Carlos is leaving, but so if I did owe you $20, I would not have it because we did buy tacos. Yes. We didn't pay for it. So I still should have your $20. But if I'm talking to God, it's as simple as saying, God, I was struggling with lying about this, and I told you that I was going to get better at it. I did not, and I'm sorry. Let's see if we can fix this. I'm sorry. It's a confession. You're confessing to the Lord. Lord, I am just so angry. God already knows it. But it's therapeutic for you when you tell the Lord about it. And that's part of why we're supposed to pray. God, my coworker, I want her to know Jesus. I'm pretending like I'm a girl now. Like, I want her to know Jesus, but I kind of want to grab her by the hair and put her into my knee. Her face. Yeah, that's what I really kind of want to feel like doing. You're confessing to the Lord. You're just being honest. You're just being very real with Jesus. Okay, confess. I'm going to ask forgiveness for that. I still feel that, but I'm asking forgiveness for that. You're confessing to the Lord. It's confession. A prayer of lament. This is, some of us, we need to learn how to lament. And if I was lamenting to my dad, I would just say, hey, Dad, I'm just, like, I'm struggling. I've got, actually do this with my mom on not a regular basis, but she's one of those places. Like, she's like, sometimes, she's like, you don't even need to tell me what it is sometimes. Just tell me if you're struggling. I'll pray. But I could say, you know, this whole situation turned out way worse than I thought it was going to get. I can barely get out of bed in the morning. I feel like I'm depressed. That's what it would look like if I'm talking to Dad. Hey, maybe I'm venting to you and just upset. I know it's not your fault, but I just wanted to vent and blame someone. I probably blamed you. You know, you have nothing to do with this. Just my heart is hurting right now. When we're in those, sometimes as Pentecostals, we feel like we just got to be happy clappy all the time. It's okay to be struggling. It's okay to be sad. It's okay to struggle with depression. It's okay to, we don't want to stay there, but we want to bring that to Jesus. God, this is what I'm feeling right now. I'm not in a good spot. That's a prayer of lament. They actually have a name for that. There's actually a book called, there's a book in the Bible called Lamentations. It's called Lamentations. It's lamenting. It's a whole book of sadness. A whole book of crying out to the Lord because I don't feel very good. Two left, real fast. Prayer of consecration. Hey, what would it look like if it was two people? It would look like this. Dude, I know that we've been having lunch and I've been on my phone the whole time. Okay, I put it away. I'll stick it under the napkin here. You got my full attention, all right? That's what consecration is. It means I'm going to fully commit to this moment and I'm committing to you. Hey, maybe Dad was just ranting and raving as an angry lunatic at me because I've just not been up. I've not been pulling my weight. I said I'd help him put a new motor in that truck. And I haven't been, and I'm sorry about not helping out as much as I should. I'll do better. I'm committing to help out, to following through. Hey, listen, I didn't know that my Polish jokes and my comments about the Vikings were bothering you so much. I won't do it anymore because I value you and I want to honor you. Do you see what I mean? It's kind of asking forgiveness, but what really more is, it's consecration. I'm going to commit myself to you in this moment. What it looks like with Jesus is holiness. I'm going to consecrate my life to you, God. Whoa, I shouldn't have been listening to that music. I shouldn't be just picking on my buddy. Like, I know it's just in fun, but you know what? I'm going to do better. And Jesus, I want to carry out. I want to look like Jesus, right? It's just consecrating. It's like honing in, dialing in on my relationship with Jesus in that moment. Last one. This one's easy. Abiding prayer. It's this. Hey, you mind if we just sit here for a minute? I don't know. We have people that come to our house that just need to just be there for a minute. They don't need counseling. They just can I just sit at your table? Yeah, you can do that. You can do that with Jesus. Hey God, I'm just chilling out at the wheat field, watching the sunset. Can we just, it's like conversational prayer, but I'm just not going to say anything. But I just want to invite you, Holy Spirit, into this moment. And often the Lord will speak to your heart in those moments, but you're not really praying, but you are praying. You're spending time with the Lord. Does that make sense? All right, give Stan a hand. Good job, Stan. Oh, I missed the one. That one got erased. There was one. Sit back down. There was one that got in my moving folders and files over. One got erased. There's a prayer of agreement. And we did that this morning where we agreed together. The Bible says if two or more of you agree on one thing, it shall be done, right? That's a prayer of agreement. So what would that look like if I was doing it in relationally? Hey, now he's pretty comfortable on his stool, so he doesn't want to. But could you give that to Jim? Doesn't look like you're just wait. You're supposed to not move so fast. Just because that's just a petition. That's a petition. I know you do, but just for this situation, you don't want to do. How many want to see Stan give that to Jim? A few of you? How about if we all agree on that? Can we all agree that Stan should give that to Jim? All right, on the count of three, everyone say, Stan, give it to Jim. Ready? One, two, three. Stan, give it to Jim. Okay, now go. There. Now give Stan a hand. Thank you. That's what a prayer of agreement is. We're all agreeing together, and we're asking the Lord to do something for someone. Does that make sense? Prayer is so simple. It's complex, but it's simple. It's just talking to Jesus. In all those different ways, just think about how you would talk to a human about it. Talk to Jesus. Ask him for things. Here, let me read these last two things. We'll be done. Adam Weber, he's a pastor in Sioux Falls. He wrote a book called Talking with God. He said, instead of it being another daily chore, something changes when prayer slowly becomes as natural as breathing, when we figure out that it no longer takes energy. Instead, prayer fills us with energy, fills us with life, gives us the ability to love our coworkers and not strangle them. It allows us to be patient instead of frustrated with our kids. Prayer makes it possible to have a positive attitude on the crappiest of days. I'm beginning to realize, and he's a pastor and he wrote that. Isn't that something? I'm beginning to realize that unless I'm in constant conversation with God, I have little love, little patience, little gratitude, and a terrible attitude all on my own. And he finishes with this. He says, prayer centers us, keeps us sane. It gives us strength. It carries us through. Prayer rearranges our priorities. It fills us with joy. It covers us with peace. Prayer allows us to extend grace. Even better, prayer connects us with the one who treads water for us when we're unable to swim for ourselves. You guys, the whole thing is worth that quote right there. Prayer connects us with the one who treads water for us when we're unable to swim for ourselves. Our parting quote for the day is from Mother Teresa. You guys heard of Mother Teresa? She says this, the more you pray, the easier it becomes. The easier it becomes, the more you'll pray. So I want every single person in this room and listening by video and online to commit that you're going to pray continually this week. You're going to give it a shot. I'm just going to give it a shot. I'm going to try. I'm going to do more than I did last week, right? Amen? Can we do that? Can we just talk to Jesus this week? Yes. Thank you for raising other people's hands for them. I like that. That's good. We're all in this together. All right, let's pray. God, we just thank you for this lesson. We thank you, God, that you're going to make us into people of prayer. We bless your name today. Give us a great day that's so warm outside. Help us to enjoy it. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Amen.